I'm Melissa Harris Perry, and you're listening to The Takeaway. If you're anything like me, you've fallen a bit in love with a guy named Ted Lasso. Yes, I'm talking about everyone's favorite fictional football coach.
Hey, how y'all doing? I'm Ted Lasso, your new coach.
In Apple TV Plus's Ted Lasso, which recently kicked off its second season, actor Jason Sudeikis plays the title character, a college football coach from Kansas who's hired to coach an English Premier League soccer team. Despite knowing nothing about the sport, Lasso wins over almost everyone he meets with his earnest, aw shucks attitude.
Hey, y'all played a heck of a game out there. We may not have won, but y'all definitely succeeded. I mean, you gave the champs 90 minutes of hell.
The show, Ted Lasso, is a far cry from the kinds of TV shows that used to dominate the airwaves. Over the past two decades, there's been a shift away from the irony that defined TV comedies like The Office, Curb Your Enthusiasm, and Arrested Development, to the sincerity central to the Ted Lassos of the world. James Poniewozik recently wrote about the shift on the small screen for the New York Times. He's the chief television critic for the Times and author of Audience of One, Donald Trump, Television, and the Fracturing of America.
I was originally sort of inspired to think along these lines when I and my colleagues at the Times recently put together a list of the 21 best American TV comedies of the 21st century. And that kind of gives you, you know, sort of an arc of TV history. And one thing that I was seeing in that is that it sort of starts off with shows like Curb Your Enthusiasm, the American version of The Office, because we were looking at American comedies, Arrested Development, these sort of very cutting, cringe comedy-based shows with kind of an edgy, ironic sensibility. And as you go forward in time to now, you kind of feel the temperature gradient start to warm in these, to where you get more sort of heartfelt and also excellent, you know, in a very different way, comedies like Better Things, a show that I love on FX, or It Was a Little Too Late for the List, but Ted Lasso now on Apple TV, where you have much more of a focus on empathy and good feelings and a sort of a sincere sensibility, which I think reflects a lot of things in larger television and the arts and culture beyond television as well.
Let's pause on these two different concepts, ironic and sincere. So talk to me, when you say irony, what do you mean by irony in the context of these television shows?
I'm glad you asked, because I think irony is a much debated and abused term, you know, ever since Alanis Morissette and before. When I'm talking about a TV show sort of having an ironic narrative or sensibility, I don't necessarily mean, you know, cynical or nasty the way many people do it, but I mean a disconnect between the sort of authorial intent and the text, the content of the story. So in other words, in something like Ricky Gervais's The Office, you have a disconnect between how the show sees David Brent, the protagonist, and how he sees himself.
A sergeant major spends all his time training his men to be killers. He doesn't polish his own boots. He probably does polish his own boots, but, you know, it doesn't mean I have to do my own filing.
He sees himself as the hero of the story. To the show, he's the anti-hero of the story. I think that's much the case with, say, the Larry David character in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Trick or treat.
How old are you?
13.
You look more like 16 or maybe
no,
even 17.
No, we're 13.
You're 13?
Yeah.
Where's your costumes?
I'm being my sister.
You're being your
this
sister.
Is my costume. I'm a teacher.
You're a teacher,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So can we get
Boy,
some candy,
like
Grandpa?
To get my
yeah, honestly,
in
can
your
we
class.
Have our candy?
Candy.
Hello?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Are you kidding?
You know, there's sort of a difference between how Larry David is on the show and how Larry David, the creator of the show, sees that character's actions. It's sort of a kind of storytelling, which also relates to things like anti-hero dramas like The Sopranos, in which the audience is expected to recognize a detachment between the show's point of view and the character's point of view.
I'm feeling like, to me, Colbert is a great example of this, that what he was saying was actually the opposite of what the show wanted you to believe.
Yeah, the version of Stephen Colbert that we saw in The Daily Show and then The Colbert Report was sort of patient zero for this kind of television irony. He was a genius. He was a master at it for years. on the Colbert Report, he played himself as a character, as sort of this blowhard commentator who was oblivious and vainglorious and is saying all these things that he himself as a person did not believe.
Now, when I saw the tweet with no context, I understood how people were offended. The same way I, as an Irish American, was offended after reading only one line of Jonathan Swift's A Modest Proposal. I mean, eat Irish babies, hashtag cancel Swift, trend it.
And part of the comedy, the effect of the show, was that you recognized a difference between what the character was giving you and how the show wanted the character to represent what he was giving you. So it was the ultimate ironic performance in that he literally, because he was playing himself under his own name, you know, he sort of had to detach from himself in this work of performance art.
So let's talk about Ted Lasso, because I recently found it. I know it's going into its second season or premiering the second season, but I just found the first season and I did just fall in love with it. Like at one point I brought my 19-year-old daughter downstairs because she's heading off to be a resident advisor at her college. And I was like, you got to watch this because it's got great examples of how to be a good team leader. And I mean, what gets more sincere than like your mom calling you to watch the show, you know, to be a good team leader?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think that's a great thing that TV can do for us. You know, I had a similar experience to something that I think a lot of my readers have shared with me, which is that, you know, Ted Lasso, the first season premiered last year. It's been kind of a rough year. And, you know, I think a lot of people have had this experience of, you know, I was worn down by the pandemic or by like, you know, all the mean-spiritedness in politics or this or that. And I think there is something that people respond to in this show, that it's not just an empathetic show, but it's kind of a show about empathy and how feeling empathetic, having that ability, can be powerful in the world and where it works and where it doesn't. And I think one thing that makes it brilliant too is that it's not just like a simplistic feel good show where everything automatically works out. It really challenges the idea of whether, you know, Ted Lasso's kind of relentlessly sunny disposition is always healthy or always the best choice in every situation. And so I think it's also a case that shows that just because a show is less narratively convoluted doesn't mean that it's any less sophisticated. You know, I think it's a show that's very smart about the very sincere, direct thing that it's trying to do.
Do you think that sincerity, that directness, even that sort of complication within the context of sincerity, is a result of having lived through 4 years of the Trump administration, which did not feel particularly empathetic, and of course the COVID-19 crisis, where you know, so many of us are separated in a very sincere and real way, separated from our loved ones, and kind of hoping like not to get back together to start throwing jabs, but like to actually be nice to one another.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, I think it's all of that and more. I think whenever you see, you know, cultural shifts, they have many parents, right? And, mm-hmm. and, you know, I think there's certainly this aspect of the pandemic when we've been cooped up for a year and a half, largely at home, often with our televisions, that people kind of sought out comfort, and they specifically sought out and turned to things that, you know, kind of invested them with this sense of community and belonging and, you know, people trying to be with one another in a healthy way. And then, yeah, I think that there is, you know, I don't necessarily know that the political environment inspired every show that fits this category, but I think it affects the reception and the popularity of them, that we've been through this sort of political era, not just of a lot of mean-spiritedness, but often the political weaponization of irony. You know, where, you know, one thing that Donald Trump would often do was this thing of, you know, oh, I'm joking, but I'm not joking. You know, Russia, if you're listening, we'd love to see Hillary Clinton's emails. Oh, it was a joke. I was being sarcastic, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, so I think that there was this sort of kind of political weaponization of this, you know, kind of trolling attitude that I think, you know, in some sense drove people to embrace, you know, a little more sincerity and a little more saying it like you mean it.
And if you, of course, mean what you say, even if sometimes what you say is mean, you just have to be accountable for it.
That's a terrific way of putting it. And yes, I agree. You know, it is a way of putting yourself out there and standing behind what you say and, you know, taking whatever lumps come from it.
So because I'm me, we have to do this. Is this sincerity move also happening in television and cultural products that are explicitly raced and gendered? So part of what I so enjoy about Ted Lasso is that he's like consistently doing these somewhat surprising, I almost hate myself for saying this, but these surprising, almost like critical race theory turns, right? Like he'll suddenly quote someone you would never expect this kind of country white guy, you know, now living in England to quote. But I'm wondering if we can do this sort of sincerity plunge, for example, with a woman as our protagonist or with a queer person of color, or if part of what irony did was also to provide a little protective shield for those who, you know, live at the margins of our normed society.
I think it can kind of work both ways. There's sort of different tools, irony and sincerity that can be used for different purposes. But I think you're absolutely right to pick up on this aspect of it, because, you know, on the one hand, I think that if somebody sees themselves producing something that is for, you know, a new or underrepresented group, you know, as you say, the shield and the license of irony and sarcastic humor can often be a kind of defense. You see this often, you know, sketch comedy and so forth, you know, going back to the early aughts, you know, Chappelle's Show and that sort of thing. On the other hand, I also feel that I think that one reason that you have often seen a more sincere mode of television in TV storytelling lately is that more people are being kind of brought in and allowed to tell stories. And, you know, you can have, you know, sort of a detached attitude from somebody like, you know, David Brent or Tony Soprano, when white guys in stories have had the chance to play all sorts of characters for a long time. Whereas I think that when you are creating a story about, you know, a group that, you know, that you've seen as being underrepresented, your first choice is not necessarily going to be to spoof, or to like sort of, you know, deconstruct it. And so I think that a show, say like Insecure, you know, a terrific show like that, or Rami on Hulu, or Master of None, or Atlanta, these will often have very complex attitudes toward their characters and their protagonists, but they also have more sympathy toward them than, say something like Arrested Development, which was much more about puncturing the hypocrisies and ridiculousnesses of, you know, characters like the Bluths. So I think this is absolutely a big factor that you're picking up on.
James Poniewozik is the chief television critic for the New York Times. James, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Melissa.